Good morning, everybody. It's Michael Tucker with the Real Estate Success Strategies podcast. Today, I have a very special friend of mine, actually in my neck of the woods. Zach Peterson's with us, and he's going to be talking about how he scaled his rental business and his flipping business to well over six figures. And I'm sure now he'll probably tell us, but I'm sure he's made seven figures in this business over the past few years. So this dude is a very humble guy. I've gotten to know him over the past two or three years in my market. He's actually a buyer that he's bought a lot of my wholesale deals. I've probably only two or three actually, but we've worked on a few. And so he's a great guy to work with. And so I wanted to bring him on here to bring a little bit of transparency to the real estate game and tell you guys what it's like in the flipping in the rental business, because a lot of people, they don't get to the nitty gritty. So that's what we're going to do today. So let's get this podcast started and let's bring on Zach to the show. All right, guys. Well, we have Zach Peterson on with us. Zach, how's it going, man?
Going great, man. Thanks for letting me be on your show here today. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, yeah, anytime, man. And I wanted to bring you on because, you know, obviously we've worked together and we've had some deals work out, some deals not. And it's just been, been a roller coaster. But through it all, I've seen you grow your business over the past couple of years and you're doing amazing things in the Lexington market. And I wanted to bring you on to talk about how you scaled your business, how you got into real estate, because there's a lot of people out there that they hear everything on the mountaintop, right? They hear, oh, we're making this much money. They're making this much money, but nobody knows how they got there or what, you know, you did or they did to get to that point. So first, just let us know, let the audience know a little bit about who you are and how you got into real estate, man. If somebody doesn't know you, just give a little rundown about who you are.
Okay, sure. Definitely. So, I've been in real estate since 2010. And first of all, I got an awesome wife and a beautiful little girl, and they're my entire life. And I love real estate, but that definitely comes second. Family always comes first. But anyways, I've been in real estate since 2010. Well, I'd say actually 2011. I graduated college in 2010, and it was definitely a different time then. The economy was just in the pits. So I graduated from Asbury University, and I actually had a recreation degree, which can't do a whole lot with. It was a fun major, but yeah, I really wanted to work with kids and sport and rec programs and whatnot. Probably would have went on to get my master's. So anyways, I graduated and realized that the job market was shot. There just wasn't a whole lot of activities, and my father actually owns an apartment complex, some eightplexes, duplexes, and whatnot. So I had a phenomenal mentor from the start and realized that real estate was probably the way to go. And as a lot of people know, in 2010, 2011, the prices were great for real estate. So that was the time to get in.
So you jumped in at 2010. What was your first property you purchased?
I purchased a little house over in Winburn Estates, which, you know, especially 10 years ago, it was actually kind of a high crime area, you know, especially when the economy was kind of bad. There's a lot more crime than there is now. And I really didn't know what I was doing. I kind of relied on my dad to help me run the numbers. And I didn't really know if I should buy it or not. And I just told my dad, I was like, Dad, should I buy this thing? And he's like, well, I can't really tell you yes or no. The numbers look good. And when it comes down to it, you just got to do it. Just pull Nike and just do it. And I did it. And I actually have almost 40 houses in Winburn right now.
Oh, wow.
Which wasn't planned. That's just kind of how it played out. So,
well, cool. So yeah, it sounds like, you know, your dad was a big factor in you know, getting started in real estate. Yeah. Growing up, did you ever imagine that you'd be in real estate, like just watching your dad or anything? How long was your dad in real estate, if you don't mind me asking?
I think he's been in it at least 15 years, maybe pushing 20 years. I can't say for sure, but I was pretty young when I was helping him, maybe 13 or 14. So,
did you imagine 15, yourself ever doing real estate whenever, you know, your dad started getting into it or no?
I mean, my dad, he always did all his own maintenance and whatnot. And honestly, and like, I would help him, like, you know, clean toilets and do all this horrible stuff. So honestly, I didn't know if I wanted to get involved or not.
Right. Yeah, you kind of got to see the nasty side of it all, the bad side of it all.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's all part of it, though, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited because we're going to jump into actually how you manage your properties here in just a few minutes and the systems you have. But, You know, so you bought that first property, and where'd you go from there? Was it just like a snowball, or was it something that like kind of was gradually, you know, you bought another property and well, that first deal, was that a flip or a rental?
It was a rental, and really I didn't start doing flips until, man, probably even just 3 years ago. And then it was just, you know, just kind of went nuts with the flips in a good way. but really everything had been rentals up until probably 2017 or so.
Gotcha.
So, to answer your question, it really wasn't a snowball at the start because I was really limited in my thinking. Back then I was putting like 25% down. I think my lender was actually requiring 30% down. He had no business lending to me,
right?
But, I think my father, he actually co-signed, but even then it was 30% down. It was like 5.5% interest rate, which for that time it was still really high. So I was really limited on like funds. I didn't have 30% down to put on properties, which as you know, and other people know, there are so many strategies out there to where you don't have to put any money down, which is what we do for every single deal, every time, all the time now. So it was really important to buy my first property, but it was not a snowball effect. It helped start the snowball at the top of the hill. It started rolling down the hill, but it didn't really start to roll real fast until I got into, you know, a couple of years later, you know, property 9 and 10 and so on.
Gotcha. Cool. So that kind of gives you hope for everybody that's listening to this. Maybe you've done one or two deals, three deals, and you just feel like, man, is this ever going to take off? Listen, it just takes consistency. And what would you say to somebody that, you know, they've gotten two properties and, you know, they were kind of in that position you were in 2010, 2011. What advice would you give them?
I would say, first of all, it's great. You know, you got a couple of properties. Once you get the first one, that just really helps start that snowball effect. And I know everyone has different goals and wants and needs. So first of all, you got to set your goals and what you want to accomplish in real estate. But I say just the biggest thing is just network with people, you know, reach out to people, ask for help. But, you know, give value too. Don't just ask for help and get nothing in return. Right. I know I'm more than happy to help people, you know, even if I don't get a whole lot in return, but, you know, at least take the knowledge that you're given and act upon it and use it. But I say the biggest thing is just network with people, go to real estate groups, reach out to, you know, flippers, you know, wholesalers, everyone, just, you know, do what you're doing. Just, you know, ask questions. I mean, you were great, man. I talked to you, you know, a couple of years ago you know, you've been super successful with it, and people that are willing to reach out and network and treat people right, you know, they're the people that are going to go far. So network, network, network. Your network is your net worth.
I love it, man. It's so cool because I started networking with people like Zach, and I did see a difference. And first off, thank you, Zach, for, you know, giving me the time of day, you know, back when I was first starting and going to meetups and meeting you. So it's amazing. Yeah. Relationships you build and the network you build once you just get out of your comfort zone and go to those places. Right now we're in a time with COVID, so the physical meetups may not be there, but still there's a lot of people that are willing to meet one-on-one at coffee shops and do things like that. You just have to ask and reach out. So it's cool. Yeah. Man, I love hearing your story. And to be honest, I don't think I've ever heard your full story, so this is kind of fun for me just to hear it. And so sure. you started, you know, getting 9, 10, 11 properties. You started, you know, going up. What was the hardest obstacle to you scaling? So, right, you wanted to take your business to that next level. You know, what was the hardest part to scaling your business?
Well, I think in a way, I kind of probably already answered that question. It was just money and just my way of thinking that I needed a lot of money to do real estate and to buy properties and whatnot. And that's just simply not the case. Now, let me say, it's very important to have money for reserves for, you know, if your rental properties need work done, you know, whatever it may be, or a line of credit, just, you know, to have there if you need it. But my first property where it was kind of a creative deal, there was this elder gentleman and he kind of wanted to get out of managing the properties. He wasn't in the best health, but he still wanted that passive income. So he actually, and this was years of just, you know, just becoming friends and talking. I always wanted to buy his properties. They were 11 houses and he ended up financing them, seller financing long-term on a 25-year loan It was 0% down. The interest rate was a little higher. It was like 6%. But there were tenants in all the properties already placed. You know, new roofs, new windows. They're in great shape. At each house I bought for 50, they're all appraising for over 100 now.
Oh, wow.
And the cash flow just after closing was like $2,500. And the houses are in great shape. And I didn't take a dollar of my money to pay for these. So that's really what got the snowball started. And let me say, my dad and a long time friend, Greg Johnson, kind of mentored me with the whole seller financing. So I want to say thank you to them. But it really started with that, and it really opened up. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and just my mentors and some of these books I've been reading, learning about the BRRRR strategy, you know, like I said, seller financing for the flips, you know, borrowing private money, hard money. Now I use my personal line of credit or commercial line of credits. You know, you don't need money to do this, and you don't need credit either. If your credit's shot, you know, going back to networking, if you network with the right people, there's a lot of people willing to give out money right now and, you know, take other people's money, leverage it, and you can do big things. So once you learn how to do that, then the world is yours.
I love it. I love it because you gave a prime solution. The solution for a lot of people's problem of not having enough money is going out there and learning the strategies needed in those moments. So if you're in the same position that Zach was in, you know, you don't have a lot of money right now. Like he said, your credit may be shot. It just takes you going out there and learning about all the different strategies. For example, you guys know the deal that I'm getting 65 acres and we're not putting any money down and we're going to flip it and hopefully make 30 or 40 grand. You know, that's awesome. Just from, you know, time of learning, digging into YouTube videos, reading books, you know, connecting with people like Zach to learn that I can do those things. And so once you, you know, start tapping into those sources, you know, you can hop over that obstacle. And I want to give you all some encouragement as well. To be honest, before I got into real estate, my credit was great. I made it my first deal. I made a few mistakes. My credit got shot. Like literally I went from like almost, you know, 750, 800 down to like, you know, 650. And I'm being transparent with you all because I want to, you know, I want to give this value, but I've still been able to succeed in real estate, even though my credit was shot from that first deal. So if you're in the same position or those first two deals where I lost like $15,000, if you're in the same position as me, it's okay. You don't have to have the best credit. You know, you can go out there and do it. Yes, you want to improve your credit. You want to take the necessary steps to improve those areas, but you don't have to have the best credit there. So thanks for sharing that, man. That's transparent. Just, you know,
absolutely.
You sharing that, you know, you didn't have the most money, and but you took the steps to go learn how to get that money. And while I'm on that subject, Zach, we're actually hosting today, I think we're opening up registration today. It's called the 4-Day Private Money Challenge. So we're going to take people through a 4-day event where we teach them how to raise private capital for their real estate business. So whether you're wholesaling and you want to maybe start buying some of these properties yourself, and maybe you don't have the most money, we're going to teach you how to, you know, find the funds to take those property down yourself. You know, I've been able to do it through finding family, friends, and just networking with people like you did to, you know, start taking down these properties myself and buy some rentals and buy some flips. So all you have to do is go to privatemoneychallenge.com, the link's below, and then that's going to be happening next week, next Monday. So make sure you tune into that free event. But let's talk about your systems, man. Now that I got that out of the way, what systems do you have in place for your rental and flipping business right now? Because how many rentals do you have total currently?
So rentals, I have about 75 doors. I think that comes out to about around 65 properties. I mostly do single family, but I do have like a sixplex, some duplexes and whatnot mixed in there as well. So
okay.
75 doors.
75 doors and growing. I'm sure every month you're probably picking up one or two or trying to.
Trying to.
And how many flips do you have going at one time?
Right now, two. Man, I like to have at least three going all the time, but there's just not much inventory out there.
It's a hot market. Tough.
Yeah. I mean, we've had up to, with flips and just buying new rentals and turning those, we've had times where five or six, man. And that gets to be a little bit much.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk exactly just that. Cause people, you self-manage all your rentals, correct?
I do. Yes.
Okay. So a lot of people would say, Zach, dude, you're crazy. You're managing 75 rentals, and you would probably say it's pretty easy now that you have your system down. But there's people that look at you and say, dude, you are crazy for managing 75 rentals by yourself while doing flips, while, you know, raising children and, you know, having a family. So what system do you have in place for your rental business?
Well, first of all, to say what you said, it's really not that hard because I actually did property management previously and I managed over 150 doors. So go down to 75 doors, and that was, those were like apartment complexes. Now I'm doing houses, which honestly is 10 times easier to manage houses and the types of tenants that you typically get with houses. So, it's actually been a lot easier, but, to answer your question, I use a property management software called Buildium, and it just helps me just track all the rental payments, lease renewals. Tenants can pay online through there, which makes it easier for me and them. And then outside of that, I do use a little old school. I still use Excel. I'd like to start using Quicken here soon. I should be using it, but I use Buildium and then Excel just to kind of track everything and stay on track.
Cool. I'm going to put that link to that website. And you said it's Buildium?
Yes, Buildium. Yeah, there's two big property management softwares, Buildium and AppFolio. They're both great. You can go either or, but I would choose one of those two for sure.
Awesome. I'll put that link down below so you guys can check it out for yourself. And so that's very interesting. What do you do for maintenance? I'm sure you don't probably go out there and fix all the properties yourself. Do you hire that out? How's that look like?
Oh, heck yes, man. I don't go out anymore. those days are long gone. I can go out and fix toilets, but I'd rather, you know, have, you know, pay whatever it costs to have an experienced plumber go do it, fix the toilet or whatever it may be. But anyways, I got a good, three guys. They're just general contractors and they'll get most of my stuff. But I do have a plumber, electrician, pest control company that I use. I have all those people that do all the maintenance. Occasionally I'll get out there and do stuff, especially if it's a nice day. Still doing some gutter cleans. I should probably, you know, hire that out as well. But I hire most of the stuff out. And if you want to scale, yeah, you absolutely can't be doing your own maintenance. You've got to get, you know, when you're talking about systems, your handyman, general contractors, they got to be part of your system. If you don't have good, trusted contractors to have your back, then you're not going to be able to scale your business. So that is a huge thing right there. Shout out to my good contractors out there. You guys are awesome.
Oh, no, that's so true. And so through Buildium, are people allowed to submit requests like repair requests through Buildium, right? What's that look like? How does a renter come to you and say, hey, this toilet's broke? Like, do they call your contractors? They call you? What's that look like?
So right now it's still going through me. I think it is important to, I think, eventually have a maintenance manager so that it would go through them, but I'm handling it right now. But some people, they go through Buildium. Some people are going through email, and some are actually still going through text and calling. I work predominantly with lower income housing. And when you work with that clientele, there are some people that they just, you know, don't have internet access. So they have to go through text or calls. That's not always the case, but you do see that a little more often with the lower income housing. So, that's definitely how it's handled. Yeah.
Well, cool. So it seems like the key to this is having good handymen on site, good plumbers, good electricians. And what would you give, like, if somebody was saying, hey, I have a few rentals and I'm tired of doing everything myself. I'm tired of going and patching drywall when somebody falls and, you know, puts a hole in the wall, or, you know, I'm tired of doing these things. How would they go about finding someone that it could be put on their team and help take away that time from them?
Yes. I think a good place to start is probably your local real estate group and go off of referrals. There's a lot of people out there that, unfortunately, will take advantage of, you know, especially newer people, will take your money and run. So you definitely want to go off referrals. So start in your local real estate group. I wouldn't hire anyone unless they were referred to me by someone I trusted. Even then, I've had issues. you just got to be extra careful. But I will say, you know, for your listeners out there that only have one or two properties, you're going to have to do your own maintenance for a while. I always tell people, the more doors you have, the more properties you have, the easier it gets because you have more income there to, you know, hire stuff out. Yeah, if you only have one door, you should, you know, budget in there to be able to fix things and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, the larger I've grown, the easier that type of stuff has gotten. And we just have a bigger budget to fix stuff. So I'm more than happy to take that budget to have someone else fix it rather than me take time out of my day to go over there and fix something.
I love it. Yeah. It's like, I heard a story one time of a guy, he was mowing his yard, you know, just every week he was mowing his yard. And then as his business grew, he started hiring out, and his dad, who was very old school, this is just a story I heard. Dad was like, why would you pay somebody $60 a week to come mow your yard when you could do it, you know, in 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday morning? And it was all about, hey, Dad, yeah, listen, I'm busy now. My time is worth more. So Zach, as he scaled his business up, his time is worth more to him than going and fixing toilets and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, now he can focus on other things and, you know, do what he really wants to do. So as I love that, man, it's really cool. So let's transition to the flipping side of it. I know you've said you've had 3, 4, 5 flips going on at a time. Is there any way that you manage your flips a certain way? Is there any systems you use, software? What's that look like?
You know, I really don't use any like specific software other than just Excel, really, just to track everything, just to track my budgets, schedules. I use an app on my phone. I think it's called Todoist. It's just a okay. To-do app, basically. You know, I'm not like a hardcore technology guy, so that's probably where, you know, someone could come in and help me with my systems, but I'm kind of old school in a lot of ways. And that's, you know, typically what I use predominantly, but obviously I check in a lot in person on these properties, just to make sure everything's on track and whatnot.
What sounds like
everything is done through Excel.
You at least try to plan things ahead of time on Todoist. You like to have, yeah, you know, be there in person, which is a great thing. You know, if you're there, that's kind of the downfall about flips. You know, if you're doing it just as a one man crew, you know, you have to be there a lot. That's the downside. Yep. The cool thing is, scale, you can hire a project manager or somebody to oversee that, whether that's the contractor or like a, you know, somebody you sub out to do that, or,
right,
you know, a friend that has knowledge in that space. So actually what I want to do eventually is to keep flipping properties, but find a project manager that I can just pay a certain percentage and say, hey, you get to, you know, you keep, yeah, this percentage for managing. Cause I can see where flipping could take a lot of your time. You know, if you do it full time, you have yeah, three or four going on. So,
right.
No, I just wanted to pick your brain, man. Yeah. Cause I know you're doing big things. You're succeeding out there. So I wanted to let the world know exactly what you're doing. And if you could give any advice, you know, to someone, you know, just, you know, from the mistakes you made or anything, what advice would that be to somebody that's just starting out in real estate?
Well, I would tell them a few things. First of all, I mean, you can do it. Like, don't let anyone tell you can't do it. I mean, I'm not saying like I'm an idiot or anything, but I'm not the smartest person in the world. I did get through college barely, but you know, that type of stuff does not dictate what kind of success you'll have in the real world. So, you know, just get out there, network, and just believe in yourself and know that you can do it. But you got to do it. You know, you can't just read books. You know, you can read books for a while and that helps, but eventually you got to go do it.
Right.
So that's
the first
thing.
Something that was hard for you? Yeah. Is that like you just stepping out and actually doing it? Was that hard for you at the beginning?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little scary. You're taking on tens of thousands of dollars in debt. Yeah, it was a little scary, but you know, I was kind of at a tough time in my life where I just didn't have any job options. I had to do something. So, you know, I just had to do something. So that was one of my few options, just buy a house and start real estate.
I can't remember the quote exactly, but there was a quote that says in life, you need either desperation or inspiration, right? So it sounds like you were in a time of desperation. You had to do something.
It was honestly more desperation than inspiration at the time. And, you know, obviously that started to flip the other direction pretty quickly. But desperation can really be inspiration in a way,
right?
Really to push you to do stuff. But the other big thing I would say is, I mean, it sounds cheesy and corny, but just treat people right. Put your integrity first. There is a lot of sketchy people out there in real estate, and the people that are really doing it right, treating people well, they're the ones that are going to succeed. Even, you know, all the way down to your tenants. Respect your tenants. Take care of them. And if you do that, they will take care of you. My tenants have been great to me. I like to think because I've been great to them. But, you know, if they have a problem, take care of them. And they're going to take care of you. And in return, you know, you will be profitable with your business model. You know, again, it's kind of cheesy, the quote, you know, people before profits, but it's true. You put people first, whether it's tenants, your contractors, wholesalers, your lenders, real estate agents, whoever it may be, you put those people first, take care of them, respect them, appreciate them. And those profits, I promise you, they will follow. So you put your integrity first and the money will come quickly behind you.
I love it, man. I love it because everything you're saying is so true. I was reading a Grant Cardone book. I don't know if you know Grant Cardone or not, but
I like some of his 10X, content. Man. And
yeah, it's, some of his stuff's really good. And I was reading a book, I think it's Sell or Be Sold, and it was talking about that. You know, so many people put, you know, the emphasis on the product, right? And they forget about the people, you know, this product over people when it should be the other way around, people over product. And so everything you're saying is true, guys. If you treat the people around you right, and if you operate your business out of love and out of serving people, you know, how much value can you add to other people? That's what you should be asking yourself every day. Hey, how can I add value to my renters? I know we think of them just renters, right? They're just living in our house. They have to pay us, right? But how can we come to service to them? And, you know, even our contractors, and, you know, the people we're flipping for, how can we make the houses the best we can for them? So thanks for sharing that, dude, because I think a lot of people overlook that.
Definitely, man. Totally agree.
Yeah. Well, Zach, thank you so much, man, for coming on. I really appreciate you sharing your heart, sharing your story with our audience. Is there anywhere where people can follow you? Like maybe they want to follow your journey of flipping or rentals on social media. Is there anywhere that can do that?
Yeah. So follow my business page. It's called Dynamo Properties LLC. Okay. Or you can add me on just my personal Facebook page, Zach Peterson. And I do post a lot of stuff just with the projects we're doing and just, you know, funny, crazy pictures, stuff we run into.
Like crazy stuff you find in the walls of your flips, right?
Oh yeah, man. I think you sold me one with a petrified dead raccoon in the wall or something. Yeah, so, yeah, reach out to me. Give me a shout, give me a call. I love to connect with people. If you have any questions, let me know. Michael, I appreciate you giving me the time to be on here, and I love talking to you anytime I get the chance.
Well, anytime, man. I'll put that link below, so anybody just reach out to Zach. Listen, if you are in the Kentucky market and you have any deals, make sure you shoot this guy your deals. He'll buy them. So he's a true buyer, and he'll you know, he'll buy the rentals or flips, whatever you have there. So thanks so much, Zach, and we'll put that link below. Guys, if you like this podcast episode, please subscribe, leave a review, let us know how Zach did and myself. We'd love to have you in future episodes. Tune in. So until then, guys, we'll see you again next week on the Real Estate Success Strategies podcast. God bless y'all, and we'll see you soon.